Psalm 62, in a situation of menace, the psalmist asserts his trust in God alone. In verses 8 and the following, he pleads with others to do the same, reminding them that the power claimed by their oppressors is illusory. Real power rests with God. Ultimately, what matters to God is the way we live. So verse 1, only in God can my soul find rest. Soul, we did it before, nephesh. My being as longing. Only in God can my soul find rest. In him is my salvation. He alone is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. And I just want to show you, that's the refrain, and look at it. It appears later on, we'll come back to it in verses 5 and 6 in a moment, but I wanted to put the two together, and notice when it's repeated, it changes from salvation or help, help would be quite good, to hope. They're just complementary. Only in God can my soul find rest. In him is my hope. That's what he'll say later. He alone is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. So a repetition of the opening refrain with a slight variation. How long will you assail a person? Will you batter your victim, all of you, as you would a leaning wall or a tottering fence? Their only plan is to bring down a person of prominence. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. I've said that to you often enough. Watch for it all the time. When you're reading the prophets, they're often speaking about injustice. But if you look more carefully, they're not just speaking about injustice. That's all over the place. They're speaking about injustice that wears the mask of justice. They're talking about injustice that covers itself by the law, parliamentary privilege or whatever. They actually use the system which they create to make something legal, which is ultimately unlawful. They use the system to make it appear, oh, well, you know, the committee decided, I'm the parish priest, and rather than take responsibility, I get two people together and call them a committee and say, well, look, I'd love to have helped you, but the committee decided we wouldn't be able to do it. And I think I'm saving face, and you think I'm as weak as bloody water, and you're right. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying there's no place for committees, and you know I'm not doing that. And sometimes you have to do it, and a committee may decide against the judgment of the... But on the whole, we've got to stand and take responsibility for what we are, and we're in a world where everything's hidden and put away, and it's in the small print that you actually find yourself. You're not insured when you thought you were, and all of that. So it's this... They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Those of low estate, verse 9, then comes the refrain again that I put on the previous page. Okay, now verse 9, those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. Placed together, the poor and the rich, the powerless and the powerful, they put them on a balance, they go up. They're light, really. There's nothing to it. They're lighter than a breath. Plenty of times that's said in the Bible. But I'll read one of them for you, Psalm 39, which we've done on an earlier occasion. Yahweh, let me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting my life is. You've made my days a few spans, you know, a few hand breadths, literally, but just spans, not very long. And my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely everyone stands as a mere hebel, is the Hebrew, breath, hebel. That's why the word able is used in the play for Cain and Abel. Abel is just there for a... and he's off. Cain means smith. So it's to do with the city versus the pastoral. You know, he was a shepherd and the other bloke had... So it's to deal with the people in the city, which often happens. If you're in the country, you feel they're getting all the benefits, and they may well be, and you're trying to work your heart out here, and the city, the technocrats are taking over, that kind of thing. So Cain is... It's really a clash between cultures. Wanting the... You've got a town, and you've settled, and you've got your crops everywhere. You're Cain... And Abel, the pastoralist, comes in with these bleating sheep and is drinking the water out of my wells. So they're not too happy with this. So they got the guns out. And the Aboriginal people are spearing my sheep, my cows. My sheep, my cows. I'm an Aborigine, and whatever's on the land belongs to everybody, and I happen to be there and I'm hungry, so I spear a lamb or something to feed my mum and my wife and kids and family, because it's there. Not like a bandicoot. I mean, you know what I mean? It's wandering around. And then you come out and say, how dare you kill my lamb? But you didn't need it. You weren't hungry. You've got some others at home. Why is it yours? Do you see what we're dealing with? A clash of cultures. Ignorance. But we're the superior race, of course. They're ignorant. We're not. We're so damn stupid. Because we've been schooled in such a narrow way that we don't realise that what are we doing calling that lamb mine for? Why is it mine? Why is this property mine? Why is this country mine, ours, so that we can't allow people who are desperate to come in and welcome the way we were welcomed once, my grandparents. But whatever it is, and now, how can a government use that fear, that sinful fear, to get power is absolutely evil in my view. And it destroys our culture, and it is destroying it. So, I better stop getting distracted, haven't I? Everyone goes about like a shadow. Nothing, not for nothing are they in turmoil. They heap up, and they don't know who will gather. And so the advice of our psalmist, back to verse 10, is put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, don't set your heart on them. And we know, don't we? I know, you know, so many wonderfully generous people who just have it, it's yours. You know, and they welcome to their home and they just share what they have with you. And some cultures are a lot better than us, but we're pretty good at it too. You're probably good at it. We just share, you know, like, and it's kind of natural, you'd think. But not all do. Ezekiel, a little comment, chapter 22 of the prophet Ezekiel, I'll read for you. Father and mother are treated with contempt in you. The alien residing within you suffers extortion. They've got a temporary visa. How lovely to have your children going to a local primary school and you've got a temporary visa. You could be uprooted tomorrow if it suits us. Till we find no one wants to sweep our streets, we might let you in to sweep the streets. It's all around us. It's very relevant. The orphan and the widow are wronged in you. In you they take bribes to shed blood. This is Jerusalem. He's saying to the people, you're doing this. You're Hebrews, you're Israelites, but look what you're doing. You take both advance interest and accrued interest and make gain of your neighbours by extortion, and you've forgotten me, says the Lord God. The people of the land have oppressed the poor and the needy and have extorted from the alien without redress. Don't put your trust in extortion, says our psalmist. And if riches increase, don't set your heart on them. And we hear Jesus say to us so simply, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So don't lock your heart into anything less than human and sacred. And the psalm concludes, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. Power belongs to God. Kindness belongs to you, Adonai, O Lord, for you repay each person according to what the person has done. Ultimately, right is vindicated and evil is destroyed. That's their faith. We share it. And so Jesus, when he gives this very simple, the last judgment, everyone's scared, what am I going to be judged on? What are we supposed to do? What has to happen? What have I done wrong? Conscience, all this complicated stuff. And Jesus is just so simple. First of all, John's Gospel, love one another as I have loved you. That's it. That's my commandment. So if we scrapped all the rest and did that, we'd find we'd be keeping all the rest quite beautifully. And look at this last judgment, Jesus' story. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. You may have been living in a second relationship. You may have been desperately trying to find a father for your kids, and you may have married someone in a civil ceremony because that was the only way you seemed to work it, and because they seemed to want you to go back 50 years to an earlier relationship and have a court to work it all out, and it was too complicated, and your grandmother this, and someone was dying, and you're struggling along doing your best, and you do it. You get me? You're in this messy, whatever real world you're in, or you've got certain habits of behaviour that are not very embarrassing and they're not too good and they're this. And God looks at you and says, hey, you were I was hungry and you gave me to food. And you've spent all your life worrying about all these peccadilloes and worries and organisational problems that you've had. Do you get me? I'm not saying they're not important. If you can sort them out, sort them out. But, oh, Lord, this is all being recorded anyway, it won't matter. But, I mean, love is what we're asked to do. So why not love? And maybe if you love and inside you know you're not perfect, it covers us all, doesn't it? Then why don't you get on with loving instead of worrying about... You're there caring for him to the end and you're loving him and maybe you sexually might be homosexual or something and so... I think I know what God is thinking, don't you? He's saying, how could you be so loving to that man, so self-giving to that person? And yeah, it'd be nice if it was all way better worked out. But you're loving, and there it is. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. Now, you were also a bit this, and you were also a bit hard to get on with your daughter-in-law, and you also had something else going, you know, that wasn't too good, and you're also sick and tired and... of something, and you also vote for the wrong political party or whatever you might do. I'm not saying anything more than Jesus is saying, am I? Like, you might be the good the Samaritan woman who's in a seventh relationship or something, and whatever she is it six or seven? I can't remember the numbers, but she's there, and he just says, I could give you a spring of living water that would well up in you forever. And he doesn't say, go and get an annulment for the first five relationships. Does he? And the thief on the cross, I think Jesus was a bit, maybe he was dying at the time and didn't have it quite together, but fancy saying to a thief on a cross who's obviously lived a reprobate life, this day you'll see me in paradise. I mean, you can understand, I mean, that's a bit rough, isn't it, really, don't you think? Surely he should have said, well, have a confession first, right? How many times? I mean, surely there'd be things you'd have to do first. But Jesus seemed to look over and say, today you'll be with me in paradise. God, help us. So why don't we start to try and get it a bit right together and love people and help us all and help us get our life pure. Who wants to be impure? Help us become saints. So the journey is right, the ideals are right, all of that is wonderful stuff. But we shouldn't be burdening people who are struggling in their life. And we shouldn't be burdening ourselves because of our struggles. Because all the burdens that you're putting on yourself in the struggle is taking away your energy to love. That's how it works. So I don't mean be careless, you know, I don't mean that for myself or for you. But keep our perspective right. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And I don't forget the rest of it. I was hungry and you didn't give me food. Oh yeah, but I was there and I was this and I sent my kids there and I was this and you know that and I didn't hear and no. And I was naked and you didn't. And so it goes on and on and on. So... And I'm going on and on and on.